Well, we know there's a real devil, and he goes about like a roaring lion, but how much authority does he really have?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we know there's a devil, don't we? Satan, the father of lies, a murderer, a liar since the beginning, the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, building on the words of Jesus in John 10. We know the devil's really there. How much power does he have? How much authority does he have? What does it mean when Scripture says he's the God of this world? Does God control the devil completely? Is the devil doing his own thing? Is it up to us as believers to stop him? Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Here is the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or you can weigh in on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. You know what got me thinking about this subject? When Dr. James White and I debated Calvinism, Arminianism last week here in Charlotte, questions about God's sovereignty come up. How much control does God exercise? We know he's God. We know he's king. We know he can do whatever he wants to do. But what does he want to do? How has he set things up? Is the devil God's devil in terms of the devil thinks he's doing all these horrific, evil things, and yet the devil's only carrying out God's will? Is that what Scripture teaches? Or does Scripture teach that God has given certain freedoms to Satan and people, and the devil's doing things that God hates, and people are doing things that God hates, and yet God is accomplishing his will in the midst of it? Or is it a matter of Adam forfeited the rights to the earth to Satan? And in that sense, Satan is the god of this world. In that sense, the whole world is under the power of the evil one. So 2 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 5. And God has put the deciding decision, the deciding decision, great line there. God has put the final decision in our hands. Will we submit to God or will we submit to Satan? Because God has given us authority on the earth, what will we do? Where do you stand? What does Scripture actually say? 866-34-TRUTH. On the one hand, you would have perhaps an extreme Calvinist position that would say that whatever happens is God's will, and even what the devil does is ultimately carrying out God's will. So that'd be on one extreme. On the other extreme from that would be perhaps an extreme word of faith teaching that God, quote, can't do anything because Adam forfeited the rights to the earth to Satan, and God gave the earth over to human beings, and therefore it's up to us to take back dominion from Satan, and God will help us do it, but he's not going to make it happen. I would say those would be the two extremes on either side. If you're a child of God, can the devil just attack you? If you're a child of God, how much access does Satan have to you? Do you have to open the door to him to let him in? To what extent do we have authority over him? To what extent is Satan behind sickness and disease and other assaults and attacks like that? Are we paying ample attention to him, or are we giving him too much credit? Oh, yeah, I asked a bunch of questions, and I got a whole lot more to ask. What do you understand the Word of God says? How is your experience along with that conformed to what Scripture says? We'll be taking your calls when we come back. I'll give you a few more verses, and we'll be talking these things through today. Here on The Line of Fire, it's Tuesday. We focus on the Word, doctrinal issues, apologetics, theological controversies. This one's going to be controversial, but very practical. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, the devil. Are we giving him too much attention? Or are we not giving sufficient recognition to his activity in the world? That's what we're talking about today on The Line of Fire, but not to be abstract. If anything is practical, this is practical. We know in Jesus that we have authority over Satan. What exactly does that mean? How far does that go? And if we don't exercise our authority, does God intervene and exercise authority, or are there parameters within which the devil can move? He can only go so far because of parameters that God set up, but otherwise, within those parameters, he has freedom. Let's think of a few verses, and then I will go to the phones, 866-348-7884. Let's think of this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Tells us as believers to be sober and vigilant because our adversary, the devil, goes about seeking whom he may devour. So, number one, it tells us that we should be on the alert because the devil's active. It tells us that he's our adversary. It tells us he's looking for people to devour. Now, some would say, yeah, well, at the cross, Jesus pulled Satan's teeth out. He got defanged. And I appreciate the sentiment there. Certainly, Satan was defeated at the cross, and his power broken in a unique way, and authority over him given to believers. And yet, it says he's seeking people to devour. If he has no teeth, does he just gum them to death? Is that what he does? Does he just roar, but he has no teeth? No, he can bite, and he can hurt, and he can destroy. And there are many casualties out there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking those he may devour. He prowls around, as the ESV translates it. What we're told, though, is that we should resist him firm in our faith. He can be resisted. It takes firmness in faith, and there are battles going on because of him, as Peter says, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Now, let's think of this verse, Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by Satan, right? He's in the wilderness. He's being tempted by Satan. And Satan says, in verse 5 of Luke 4, it says, the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So, was Satan lying to Jesus when he said that these things have been delivered to him, that he can set up whoever he wants to be the head of a kingdom? Was he lying? Well, if he was lying, maybe Jesus would have just rebuked the lie. Jesus doesn't rebuke the lie here. He simply says, no, I'm not going to bow down and worship you, as if Satan did have that power. Now, you may think he's lying, but just want to present the option that he wasn't. If you say, but if he wasn't lying, how do we explain Daniel, the second chapter, where Daniel proclaims to Nebuchadnezzar that God sets up kings and removes kings? God sets up kings and removes kings. Here, Satan seems to be saying he has that authority. Well, how does it work? You see government leaders, the head of North Korea. Did God set him up? Did Satan set him up? Or has God given it over to human beings to make decisions? If so, do they make decisions in accordance with their own will? Is their own will colored by Satan's will? What does Paul mean when he says the God of this world has blinded those who don't believe? In what sense is he the God of this world? Does that mean he runs the earth because human beings have submitted to his power? Hence, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. We are of God, but the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Or... does it mean that he controls those who follow him and they worship him. In that sense, he's the God of this world, the God of this age, but he certainly is under God's authority. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll do my best to answer these things in a practical way, but I'm sure many of you, as you call in, will contribute to those answers. Let's start with Hurley. Hurley, we lost Hurley in Boston. All right. Let's go to Nancy in we lost Nancy in Is the devil taking out these calls? What do you think, boys? Guys in the studio, do you think it's the devil taking out these calls? Or people just ran out of time, they couldn't hold, or they had a cell phone issue? Or what? No, it wasn't aliens today, maybe demon aliens. Hey, there are some who believe that all alien appearances are actually demons, but that's another subject. That's another subject. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Peter on Long Island. Now, Peter, I don't know if you just had more authority over Satan than our other callers, or more time to hold, or you're in a better cell phone place. I don't know. But welcome, Peter, to the Line of Fire from Long Island. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. Hello, Peter. Hey, this is getting really interesting. Johnny, Andrew, I could not hear anything when we brought Peter on. I know you just spoke with him, but I heard nothing when I just brought him on. Unless he's using sign language or something like that, I didn't get it. All right, so you can check that line again in a minute. This is getting interesting. Wow, what do you know? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19, as Jesus is speaking to the 70 that he sends out, he says to them, they've come back from their mission, and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name, all right? Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he replies and said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Does that mean that he saw Satan cast down Isaiah 14, speaking of that he saw Satan cast down before the world was created or once the world was created, but thousands of years ago? Or did he mean when you were out on your mission driving out demons, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning? That's debated as well. Either way, he says this, Behold, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy and to trample on snakes and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's authority that has now been given to us, okay? Not just those 70 that were sent out, but now Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. We as believers have authority. But how does this work out in the world? How much authority does Satan have? What does it mean he's the God of this world or the God of this age? What does it mean that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one? How much does God just do, and how much does Satan do? Without question, our focus must be on the Lord. Our focus is on a great big God, not a great big devil, but at the same time, because Scripture tells us to be sober and vigilant, at the same time, because we're in a battle, it's good to understand these things and know how they work. All right, let's try to go back to Peter on Long Island. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead. What are your thoughts, sir?
I'm just thinking that the Lord sent the Holy Spirit, you know, to the disciples, and I believe that, you know, everything is in God's hands, and he's working through all the faithful in order to achieve his mission. And people, I think, just do their own evil through, I guess, the evil one, and that's what causes, they're not blessed with the Holy Spirit yet, and that's why they're having problems.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Do you think that Satan can do whatever he wants to do, and if we stop him as believers, he's stopped, but otherwise he can do whatever he wants to do? Or do you believe that God has certain parameters, Satan can't go beyond those?
No, I don't think he can do whatever he wants to do, because, like I said, that, you know, Jesus, you know, sent the comforter for us. So, I mean, I think he is completely in control. And I think that when people aren't believing in Jesus, that's the problem that they're making. That's what's causing the problem with people. It's just basically the people who are causing the problems.
Got it. All right. Well, Peter, I appreciate you weighing in. And certainly we do what we do with the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual warfare. Paul talks about it in Ephesians 6. Do we understand how it works? What if we don't engage in warfare? Then what?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me say plainly that the devil is active, that there is a vast army of demons, that they are wreaking havoc and destruction in many, many lives. No question about it. And that many believers have left the door open to the enemy by playing with sin, by not being vigilant in their faith, by being casual in their walks with God, by which I mean they think, hey, however I live, it's not going to affect things. That opens the door to the enemy. At the same time, I believe that God is the one who has ultimately set up parameters. In other words, the devil cannot just destroy every human being every second of the day, otherwise there'd be no one left living. And in particular, for us as believers, we've been given authority over him. And if we'll be diligent in our walks with God, focusing on the Lord, but then being wise when it comes to Satan, we can see victory. We can see breakthroughs. We can see all types of manifestations of God's goodness and grace in our lives. 866-348-7884. Let's go back to the phones with Brian in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Good, thank you. This is a very vast subject that you're trying to cover. I don't think you could do it in one setting. But I often wondered, one thing that always came to my mind was in Colossians, where it says that on the cross, Jesus spoiled powers and principalities.
Yeah,
and I wonder if that, how that actually translates out. I mean, I know Christians, you know, you have the power of the Holy Spirit and whatnot, you know, and he seals us. But I just wonder how that is, if that translates out. I guess I wonder how that translates out in the rest of the world. Would that be where he was spoiled?
Right. Like I don't believe it translates out for the rest of the world in many ways. In other words, it is a victory. Colossians 2, it speaks of Jesus triumphing over Satan, principalities, powers in it, normally taken to mean in the cross. That's how I take it. And Jesus did not go to hell after he died and suffer there, as some teach, or as some teach in very serious error, that he went to hell and died and was born again as the Son of God. That's a very serious error, very wrong. He triumphed. After his death on the cross, he went to the underworld and declared his victory. 1 Peter 3, he preached to the spirits in prison. That word for preach does not preach the good news. He declared his victory. And I believe that just as the ancient kings would win a battle, and they would then lead the prisoners in triumphal procession out of their city and take them into their own, and they'd have people with hooks in their nose and ropes around their waist and be paraded naked. You've got ancient inscriptions showing the humiliation of the losing troops, and the king would spoil the plunder of that city. That's what Jesus did with satanic powers. And that's the triumph. He then ascends to heaven, making an open display of them. That's the imagery of Psalm 68, that's then quoted by Paul in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That's been done, and yet it must be taken hold of by faith. That's been done in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, Satan continues to do what he's always done. But we as believers, even though we're in a battle, we don't have to be subject to him in any way. We can be aware of his lies, and we can cast him down and his power down in Jesus' name. So yes, there's a battle, but that great text you mentioned, Brian, in Colossians, the second chapter, is something that we can realize, but I see no evidence that it can be realized outside of Jesus. So thank you, sir, for the text and the observation and the question, all of which are profound and important. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, sir?
Good. How about you?
Great. Thank the good Lord.
So go ahead.
We're talking about the devil, I guess. Basically, yeah. I feel by putting on the full armor of God daily and regularly throughout the day, we resist the evil one. And I think if we do that, we're able to stay out. We're able to stay within the hedge of protection of God from all these things we're talking about.
So how do you go about doing it? Someone comes to you, Joe, and says, all right, how do I put the armor on? I mean, it's invisible. What do I do? How do you do that? How do you live out Ephesians, the sixth chapter?
Well, prayer and repentance, constantly staying within the Spirit. I personally have done it and noticed my walk increase considerably by getting rid of secular music and focusing on all Christian stuff. Christian-related stuff between, you know, reading the Bible, prayer, fellowship, being evenly yoked with people, and just, you know, basically pushing back evil, man. That's what we need to do. And if we don't do, you know, get rid of the secular music, I think that's a big stumbling block.
Got it. All right. So getting rid of the things that defile, that mess with our minds, that pollute our spirits, pursuing that which is right and holy. Those are ways that we put on the armor of God. Hey, Joe, got a break coming up, but thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it. Maybe we'll talk later in the broadcast or even in the second hour about Ephesians 6, go through that. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, a reminder again for our friends listening in greater D.C., Maryland, Virginia, on our great FM station, WAVA, WAVA FM. You get our first half hour, but the full hour, the full first hour, you get a little later in the day on the AM station. So check on that to see what time it airs. It may be between 5 and 6 at this time of the year. But you can catch that. And then everyone can catch all 2 hours online at AskDrBrown.org by clicking on the Line of Fire. Podcast subscriptions are free, all right? And you can listen to any past show free. They're all archived there. I was just talking to our order department and realize we still have some copies in stock of an amazing Jesus-centered book by Frank Viola and Leonard Sweet. They co-authored it called Jesus, a Theography. We made it available last week. I did a really great interview with Frank. I don't mean I did a great interview. I mean, he was a great guest and really opened up the beauty of Jesus in the Word. And as we're talking about Satan today, I just want to let you know that we can still do last week's offer for those who may have missed it. $25 postage paid. It's a 425-page hardcover book. And in addition to that, you get the whole one-hour interview I did with Frank. Only $25 postage paid. You will be blessed, trust me, by the interview and even more by the book. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978. You can't do this online anymore, but we can still offer this today. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. And I want to say to each of you, you find yourself in a struggle, under attack, in a real battle. Jesus is Lord. Satan is not Lord. Circumstances are not Lord. Jesus is Lord. And as you focus on him to the glory of God the Father, and worship and praise him, and take your stand, you will see victory come. God is faithful.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Paul wrote this, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He is out there. He is real. There may be a lot of imaginary things attributed to him, false things attributed to him. He may be over-glorified in certain circles, but bottom line is he's out there. He's scheming. He's plotting to destroy, and we must be sober and vigilant. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, welcome to the line of fire. These are Paul's words. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. There is attack, there is battle, there is temptation, there are challenges, but God really has given us victory in Jesus. And 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. On the one hand, human beings yield authority to Satan all the time. In that sense, he's called the god of this world, the god of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:6. But he does not rule. He's not God. God still remains God. But people put themselves under his power. And because of that, they become slaves. They become bound. Bound to sin, bound to the flesh, bound to ugly, evil, destructive things. And then some utterly destroy themselves because they come so much under his power. But they must open the door. All the more for a believer. Friend, if you are in Jesus, if you are a child of God, if you are walking in fellowship with him, if Psalm 91 has reality to you and you dwell in that hiding place in God, Satan can't come and wipe out your children. Satan can't come and wipe out your family. Satan can't come and destroy your ministry. Oh, he can attack, and he will attack. But friends, we are overcomers in Jesus, and we do have victory over him. Both are scripturally true. The devil is going about, prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for people to destroy, and he is destroying many. And if we resist him firm in the faith, which means there is a battle, he will flee. We will see victory. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about how much power and authority Satan has, how it works out in our own lives. Back to the phones. Jack in San Diego, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Yes, Michael. I think there are a couple of verses that are passages that are very interesting on this subject, and that is when heaven is actually opened and we see how it works. One of them is in 1 Kings 22. Verses 19-23 at the end of the life of Ahab.
Yeah.
When Micah, the prophet, says, I saw, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all of the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one of them said this way, another said after that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said, how? And he said, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then the Lord said, you are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. So that's one place. And then we know the passage in Job where it says that again.
Yeah, in fact, we can just focus on that one. In 1 Kings, point of fact, there was sin. The people had rejected God's word persistently. As a result of that, there was deception given to them. And Jack, sorry we got a break here, but 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, says those who refuse to believe the truth, the end of the age, will be given over to a spirit of delusion. Those who refuse the truth, given over to a spirit of delusion. And yet God in control. Hey, Jack, wish we had more time, but thank you, sir, for the scriptures. Send it, Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. You remember that old saying, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Now, I believe there's some people that can say that, but that's because they've yielded their will to Satan. They've yielded their will. They have become so demonized that they cannot break free without outside help from the gospel, from the Lord. But can the devil just make you do something? Man, I love Jesus. I've been following the Lord. I've been serving God in the Word, sharing the gospel. Man, something just came over me and the devil made... No, no, of course not. Of course not. Nor can we blame him. 866-34-TRUTH. He's a deceiver. Scripture tells us that. He's a tempter. Scripture tells us that. He is an opposer, an adversary. Scripture tells us that. But he can't make you do something if you're a child of God. David in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I'll make this brief. The only power that Satan has is that which God gives him. I mean, I think that's exemplified in the book of Job, where he was allowed to take his possessions, his children, his health, but not his life, because God didn't allow it. And also, he gets his power because of those who don't believe he exists. Because if you don't believe your enemy exists, how could you possibly defeat him? And then you're just opening up the doors for him to do whatever he wants to you. So God is in charge, and if you believe in Jesus Christ and have faith in him, Satan can never win over you. He could do things to you, fight you, but you'll always win the battles and eventually the war.
Hey, David, just a quick question, and I appreciate you getting right to the point, being concise. Let's say someone is not like Job. Let's say someone is living a wicked, ungodly, sinful life. Does Satan need to get God's permission to attack that person, or aren't they already vulnerable?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
They are vulnerable, but I mean, I think ultimately it's God's plan. So if Satan is attacking you, it's only because God allowed him.
Got it. All right. Hey, David, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Do you agree with what David said, that if Satan is attacking you, it's only because God is allowing it? Do you agree with that? Arlene in Brooklyn, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you.
Hello.
Yes, this is Eileen.
Yes, you're on the air, Eileen.
Hi. I'd like to ask you a question about binding and loosing in spiritual warfare.
Sure.
And as far as agreeing with David, I have to think about that exactly. I know that God allows certain things for testing, but not he doesn't tempt you to sin, but he allows certain things for testing. However, my question is about the strong man. Is Satan considered the strong man? I was told recently you cannot bind Satan, and I had been raised under another teaching that said, yes, in spiritual warfare, you bind Satan according to the scripture. And also, is he the strong man?
Got it. All right, so we're talking about Luke 11. All great questions, Arlene. First, when Jesus talks about binding and loosing, he's not primarily talking about Satan in the context of Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. It seems more he's talking in terms of church discipline and spiritual authority that we have there. Some people use those terms. I don't object to them. I just say that they're not primarily found in Jesus' teaching. But the relevant passage is this, and that is in Luke, the 11th chapter. It says, Luke chapter 11, beginning verse 14, Jesus is casting out a demon that was mute. So this demon was causing the person to be mute. Throughout the Gospels, sickness, disease, and demonic activity are tied together. And Jesus gives his disciples authority over demons and disease. So when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. Some said he cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. So Jesus challenges that and says, hey, every kingdom divided against itself can't stand. Right. I'm driving out demons. This is an indication to you that the finger of God has come to you. That term was used back in the Exodus when the magicians of Pharaoh realized God's kingdom is here. This is the finger of God. So he said, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 21 of Luke 11, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Yes, I believe in that context, Satan is the ultimate strong man. But in Jesus, we now come, he's the stronger one. In him, we are stronger. When one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. So Satan is pictured there as the strong man, or demonic power is pictured as the strong man. And fully armed, guarding his house, we have to come in stronger. We have to come in the fullness of the Spirit and in faith in the name of Jesus. And when we do that, we can break his power. As far as binding him, that's a term that we use. Think of it instead as overcoming him and driving him out, all right? And I think you'll find that to be the most relevant way. Don't worry about, you know, can, like, you bind him, is he tied up or something like that? Don't worry about that. Recognize we can drive him out and overcome in Jesus' name, all right?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, 866-348-7884. Let me stay on the phones here and go to Kiera in King George, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hi. You're welcome.
I just wanted to, express some of my viewpoints, what I've been raised with, and I want to start in Genesis 1, verse 26.
Okay.
It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens.'" So
yep.
Concerning the whole, does the devil have authority and stuff, I think that when God created the earth, he gave us the authority over the earth.
Okay.
And then when we ate the fruit, or when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they gave the dominion over to the devil, and he had dominion over the earth up until Jesus came. And when Jesus died on the cross and went down into hell, he took the authority back and gave it back to us humans. And now we have authority to, with our actions, to either let the devil have control in our life or to give that authority back to God when we surrender our life to him.
All right. Here's where I would agree. Here's where I disagree. I would agree in terms of, yes, we were given authority over the earth, but God still reigned as king. In other words, God gave us a responsibility to go and subdue the earth and the animals and so on and so forth, right? And to rule. But it
yeah.
never meant that God ceased to be God over it. So I'm not saying that you said that, but sometimes yeah. people think like that, as if God was not ruling and reigning as God. He remains king. He sets up and removes. He does what he wants. He uses this one for this purpose and that one for another purpose. Yet, he did give us authority. It's not that we gave it over to Satan. Nowhere does the text say that we gave it over to Satan. What we did was we submitted ourselves to him. It's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, we still have that authority on the earth. We're still being fruitful and multiply. We still are subduing it and ruling and reigning on the earth in that sense. But because the majority of the world is not following God, we have given ourselves over to Satan. That's why the world is so filled with wickedness and all of that. So it's not so much that we forfeited the authority and Satan got it. What we did was we forfeited our freedom as servants of God and became servants of Satan.
Okay.
Yes, Jesus absolutely breaks his power on the cross, and then Jesus declares all authority in heaven and earth is his. Now he sends us out. That authority always belonged to God, though. God mm-hmm. never lost that. Now Jesus has taken hold of that as God's representative on the earth and has given us that authority. So in effect, Kiera, mm-hmm. what you're saying and what I'm saying have the same end result, in that we are God's agents on the earth, and it is up to us to drive out the power of evil in Jesus' name, to make disciples, to win the lost. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel took the land, they drove out the Canaanites. Now, as we extend the kingdom, we drive out demons in Jesus' name. We win the lost and bring God's healing to a hurting, dying world. That's how we extend the kingdom. Light shines in darkness. The part that's important to remember, though, is God remains king. In other words, it's not that God somehow is sitting on the throne hoping. You've got Satan over here. You've got human beings over here. And God's rooting for human beings to do the right thing. No, God remains God and king. And we worship him and rest in that, and then we go out and carry out his will. So I would just adjust what you're saying a little bit, and then I think you can live it out all the more effectively, resting in the Lord at the same time. if that makes sense to you. All right?
Yeah, I think I agree with that, too.
Great. All right. And listen, I was among friends that held to that very same theology in years past, and I saw the positive in terms of this recognition of our authority over Satan in Jesus' name. However, I saw the negative at times when it almost meant as if God wasn't on the throne, as if God wasn't ruling and reigning as king, and he was hoping we would do the right thing. And that, of course, is an error. All right, I appreciate the call. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, and we're just going to break with our topic for 1 second, and we're going to take a call from Russia, because we don't get calls from Russia every day. So we're going to take a momentary break from our subject and then return to it, and we're going to keep going the whole next hour. I've got a whole bunch more issues to raise.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. We are talking about Satan. How much authority does he have? How much power does he have? What about our authority over him? Does God just set everything up and Satan can only do certain things? That's what we're talking about. We're going to continue to talk about it the next hour. Again, you can get both hours of the broadcast later today online at askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire. We're just taking a momentary break from our subject to take a call from Moscow, a Serdar calling from Moscow in Russia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. I hope you're not calling on a landline and running up a big bill here.
I'm okay. Well, I'm. Can you hear me?
Yeah, if you don't have me on speaker, it's best. We can hear you best like that. But I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm streaming, and actually I'm talking through Skype.
Yes, that's what I was hoping.
Ah, okay. Yes. So first of all, thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. So I just want to say thank you so very much for your amazing, amazing show. I've been listening to this show for quite a while now. I've been really, really blessed. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, my joy. My joy.
Yeah. Back in our church here, we have your book but translated into Russian. You know, our hands are stained with blood.
Yes.
So, and I believe we have that in our Bible school program, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah. So my question, sir, about your yesterday's program about your reflections on Calvinism.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So the question is, how a Calvinist be sure that he's predestined for salvation? I mean, I'm not a Calvinist myself, but for example, if I am, and how can I know until I die, until my last breath, that I am saved?
Right.
How can I know that I will make it to heaven? And if I cannot be sure, then does that mean that I'm always struggling with these thoughts? And if I'm struggling, then where is that peace which Jesus promised to those who come to him?
Yes, Serdar, those are fair questions, because a Calvinist does not believe in once saved, always saved. A Calvinist believes in perseverance of the saints. So if someone claimed to be a follower of Jesus and then fell away and died in sin, the Calvinist would say that person was never saved. So the first question I asked Dr. White during our time of interaction, we got to go back and forth towards the end of the debate. I said, I'm 100% sure I'm saved. I have the witness of the Spirit. I know I'm a child of God. I know if I was to die right now, I would go into God's presence. I said, I assume you share that assurance. He said, yes. And I said, well, then is it impossible for you to backslide? Because if you know you're predestined to eternal life and you're one of the elect, then it's impossible for you to backslide. His answer was, even though he is sure he doesn't have perfect knowledge, only God has perfect knowledge, and we all know people who have been deceived and fallen away. So I challenged him some on that, but that was his basic response, that he feels sure in his own heart, but he takes the warnings seriously as well, because only God has perfect knowledge as to those who are his and those who are not. My own experience is that I was saved in an Arminian church, and once I knew the Lord, I never worried about backsliding. I knew I loved him, and I knew he would keep me. When I was a Calvinist for 5 years, though, it actually messed with my assurance a little bit for these very reasons, that I had to prove to myself that I was not becoming complacent. So I had more assurance for me personally as an Arminian than a Calvinist. So I guess a Calvinist would say they feel sure, but they also know that if they're one of God's people, the proof will be that they take the warning seriously. But I argue, and I share your viewpoint here, that you cannot have a 100% total guaranteed assurance without some possibility of saying that it's impossible for you to backslide. And therefore, you have to take the position Dr. White did. I'm sure I'm a believer, but my knowledge is not perfect. Only God has perfect knowledge. So I think a non-Calvinist can actually have a stronger assurance than a Calvinist. Of course, they differ with me, but I see your argument, and that's how I see it as well, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for your answer.
All right, God bless you, and let's just do this. Father, we just pray for our brother Sirdar in Moscow. We know the challenges of living and ministering there. We pray for grace on him. We pray for grace on the Bible school. We pray that Jesus would be mightily exalted, and that in these days of turmoil in Russia, that you would do a great thing in your church there, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother, for the call. Albert in Houston, we're a little short on time, so please dive right back in as we come back to talking about Satan. You got to turn your phone down there or your radio down. You're there. All right, tell you what, because of time, stay right there, Albert. And right after the break, I want to come back to you. Puvi, Joseph, Samuel, others, stay right there if you can. Oh, it'll be quick. I mean, like quick that we'll be done with this hour and into the new hour, and I will get to your calls. A woman mightily used in healing ministry last generation, Catherine Coleman, said Jesus declared that the least amount of faith that he could give was greater and mightier than the largest amount of the power of the devil. That's what we need to take hold of. Another man mightily used in healing, the turn of the last century, John Lake, said this, or the turn of the 20th century, the man with the Holy Ghost dwelling within him is the master and has dominion over every devilish force and counterfeit. As God's servants, filled with his spirit, friends, we have authority over Satan. I want to encourage you, if you've been battered, if you've been bruised, if you've been hit hard, if you're struggling, renew yourself in the Lord. When I've come under serious attack, I was talking with one of our missionaries by Skype over the weekend. He and his family come under real serious attack over in Europe. And I encouraged him, first, enjoy the Lord. Take refuge in the Lord. Worship, pray, meditate on the Word. Then as you feel yourself built up, then say no to the enemy. Then tell Satan he's got to back off in Jesus' name. And as we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Friends, we put together a special resource offer yesterday. My two-hour debate, teaming up with Dr. James White, debating those who deny the deity of Jesus. Two DVDs, a wonderful debate where we team up together, plus Volume 2 of my series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, which will answer your toughest questions. How can God be three and yet one? What does that mean? So the Holy Spirit is a person. What is Jewish tradition saying? What about atoning blood? I mean, do we need the blood of a lamb or a man? How does this work? We answer those in great depth. The true resources normally are $50 plus postage, $35 postage paid today. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. You can go online as well. Go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on the online bookstore, or 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, we are in a battle. There is serious attack. The devil is prowling around, but we can overcome him 100 times out of 100 in Jesus and through him. Well, we know there's a real devil, and he goes about like a roaring lion, but how much authority does he really have?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I don't know if this is true or not, but I once heard that after the movie The Exorcist came out, that many people became Catholic because they realized there was a real devil, and ultimately it's a Catholic priest who thwarts the power of Satan. Well, Hollywood can talk about Satan. Hollywood can talk about evil. The fact is there is a real devil out there. He is destroying lives. He is seducing lives. He is hurting, he is even killing. We have authority over him in Jesus. But what's the right biblical viewpoint? We've been talking about it for an hour. We are continuing that discussion in the second hour. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Have you ever thought of Acts 10:38, where Peter, talking about the ministry of Jesus, the earthly ministry of Jesus, describes how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and doing what? Healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. So he healed those who were oppressed by the devil. Do you ever think of Luke, the 13th chapter, the woman who had been bent over for 18 years, and Jesus says that she's been crippled by a spirit, she's been bound by Satan for 18 years, and as a daughter of Abraham, she should be set free on the Sabbath. You get the picture. Satan goes about trying to hurt and destroy. Not that every sickness is directly the result of Satan. Not that everyone that's sick should say, oh no, Satan has my body bound. However, the same time, we see throughout the Gospels that demons and disease are often associated. Why these are things assaulting us, these are things contrary to God's best created order for us in terms of what he intended. That's why Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And he gives us authority in Jesus' name not to live a life free from trouble. He said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, a passage we looked at in the last hour, that we do wrestle. We are in a battle with demonic powers. We understand that. There is a battle. There is a warfare. That's why Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and says, endure hardship as good soldiers of Messiah Jesus. So we are in a battle. However, we are overcomers. Revelation 2 and 3, and the messages to the seven churches in Asia Minor, and each one Jesus says to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. There are promises to overcomers. And 1 John 5:4 says this, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory by which we overcome the world, even our faith. By putting our faith in Jesus, by putting our faith in the living Son of God, and by being empowered by him, by being empowered by the Spirit, we are overcomers. It doesn't mean that there's not a real devil seeking to destroy. It doesn't mean that God does not rule as king. It means he is working through us in this world. We are co-workers with the Lord. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. We are co-workers, and God is working through us. That's why God doesn't just save the world. He sends us to preach. He sends us to win the lost. That's why Jesus, after his resurrection, declares, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Now go and make disciples. That's why, be it the Iron Curtain, the bamboo curtain, the curtain of Islam, whatever else it is, the curtain of every attack from hell, it must come down to the authority of King Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. How much authority does Satan have? What does the word say and not say? By all means, we will discuss it. Taking your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. We're talking about Satan. Our focus is on the Lord. Our focus is on our great God. We also recognize we must understand who Satan is, what he does, so that we can effectively do the will of God. To the phones, Albert in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hello, Albert. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I was just wanting to join in with you, and I'm in absolute agreement concerning the purpose and the way that the devil operates within the earth, and surely that he is the god of this time and age, or this dispensation, clearly as Ephesians 2 talks about. But surely we have to look to the context of the scripture, even in Genesis 3. I would like for you to correct me if you see any errors, because I love the word of God and continue to consult with
sure.
the Lord through prayer. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than even living creature of the field, which the Lord God had made. And that's still the same context of translations. And then even Job clearly states in 26:13, where it says that God, his hand pierced the fleeing serpent. But to know the purpose of the devil, that he has to stay within the parameters and the subjection of the power of God. Now, even Colossians chapter 3 clearly shows that we were once of the sons of disobedience, but under the authority and the power of the work of the cross, as the gentleman explained earlier within the talk show, as far as how Christ publicly disarmed all powers and principalities, and was now in the power of God.
Hello, you there? Hello, hello. All right, sounds. Somehow you're cutting out on us, buddy. I'm not sure what's going on there. Have you changed the settings on your phone at all?
No, sir. No, I'm not on speakerphone. I don't have
all right.
radio on.
Yeah, all right. Sorry, we just lost you there. Back to you then. Go ahead.
Well, I was just stating about the gentleman spoke earlier in your show, where how clearly it shows the power that we have being in Christ, where he said he publicly disarmed all power and principality, in which Satan, though he is the god of this age, this dispensation, he still has to answer to the authority and the power of God, not just from on high, but also through us, the saints, which he sees clearly, which the Spirit of God testifies that we're sons of God, that we have the authority over the devil that is subjected unto us, and as well as all demons, all demonic power, all demonic curses, all demonic influence. As long as we stay within the confinement of the power in the presence of God, mm-hmm. and we walk in alignment of the word of God, the devil now has to answer to us. Do we still deal with the buffeting of the enemy? Satan's purpose is necessary. I mean, clearly it shows in 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul even stated that the man caught in incest with his mother, turn him over to Satan, that he'd be buffeted, but that his life be saved, mm-hmm. That his role is necessary to cause us to see that we must continue to rely on God and be dependent upon him. The scripture says that he's a worthy adversary, and only
right.
the mind
and,
of
yeah,
Christ.
And that, and, right, so those right. are the things we have to understand. He is out there. He is prowling about. He is seeking to destroy, and he is destroying many. However, if we are in Jesus, if we ourselves are under the authority of the Lord and walking in fellowship with the Lord, then Satan does not have authority over us. We have to open the door to him. And if by God's grace we keep the door closed, he does not have authority over us. In fact, Albert, Nancy was talking to me the other day, my bride of almost 37 years, and she said, why does it say that when we submit ourselves to God, right, James, Jacob, the fourth chapter, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he flees. Why does he flee? It's an interesting thought. It doesn't just leave, he flees, and obviously he has nothing in us, and we have authority over him, but we must first submit ourselves to God. I'm with you, man. Thank you for the call, 866-34-TRUTH. Joseph, also in Houston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? How you doing?
Real well, thanks.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just got a question about, as far as, like, the coming of Jesus Christ. I know in the Revelation it talks about that, and us people here on earth, we're going through temptation, you know, the temptation of our lustful fleshly desires, but our reward by overcoming and still keeping our faith in Jesus Christ is going to heaven when Jesus comes back, correct?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, so, and so I'm looking at Revelation 20 verse 11, and this, 20 verse 7, it's talking about after the 1,000 years that Satan is bound and locked up, he's gonna be free. It says when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. Well, if we're gonna be in heaven and there's nobody for, you know, that's our reward for us to be in heaven because we're done with.
Just to clarify. Oh, okay, I may have when you asked that I missed part of that point. We will be with Jesus ruling and reigning on the earth over humanity. Okay, we will be co-heirs with Jesus. And is it all of us? Is it some of us? Scripture is not particularly clear on that. It doesn't tell us everything we might like to know. But there are those who have not been resurrected yet. They are human beings living on the earth. They will be living in a perfect kingdom where God is the king, where Jesus is ruling and reigning, and where Satan is bound. So Satan can't be blamed for anything. After the 1,000 years, he then goes out. This is those that are on the earth who have not been resurrected are those that enter the millennial kingdom. Those of us who believe in a millennial kingdom, Zechariah the 14th chapter, the survivors of the nations that attack Jerusalem, they enter into the millennial kingdom. Jesus rules and reigns. We rule together with him. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is now loosed and once more goes through the earth. And these people who have not yet been resurrected, so it's not talking about us, those that are there in the millennial kingdom, however many millions or billions, whatever the numbers are, Satan will then go to seduce them and seduce a large number of them, and then they will be finally destroyed by God. Why does that happen? It happens to demonstrate one last time the sinfulness of human beings and the fact that God is not guilty, he's perfectly righteous, and that you can't just blame Satan. In other words, in a perfect world where the Lord is ruling and reigning and where Satan is bound, people will still give way to Satan and sin because of sinfulness in their heart. And that way, the only ones they can blame is themselves. They can't blame Satan. They can't blame anyone else. So that would be my response to you in short. And I hope that answers the question for you.
Yes, it did. I'm still a little concerned. That's because if it's the second resurrection, the people that I guess haven't resurrected yet you're talking about, who exactly is that?
Again, the Bible speaks of Jesus coming. Those who are believers, we are caught up to meet him, all right? We return to earth with him. We are with him forever. We are resurrected when he returns, or we are changed in the moment of time. There are still however many billions and billions of people living on the earth that are still alive at that time. Some of them will be destroyed. Those who have been in rebellion will be destroyed. But there'll be billions of people living on the earth who were not part of the final rebellion, they will enter the millennial kingdom. Again, Zechariah 14 explicitly speaks of the survivors of the nations that attacked Jerusalem. They get to enter the millennial kingdom. So take a look at that. Beyond that, Joseph, Scripture doesn't tell us a lot. It simply does speak of us being resurrected or changed when Jesus returns and others who have not been changed entering the millennial kingdom. I wouldn't get hung up on it, though, because it's future. It's something that's going to happen once we have been resurrected and we are with the Lord, meaning it doesn't affect our lives today. So I would just leave it as a question mark, and when we get there, further details will fall into place. 866-348-7884. We will get back to your other calls on the other side of the break. Oh, let me just find a good quote for you. Oh, let me see here. No, just looking for one here. Here we go, John Stott. The authority by which the Christian leader leads is not power but love, not force but example, not coercion but reason, persuasion. Leaders have power, but power is safe only in the hands of those who humble themselves to serve. So we then, as God's servants, not here to do our will but his, we as God's servants go and exercise authority over Satan. And Martin Luther famously said this, "I often laugh at Satan. There is nothing that makes him so angry as when I attack him to his face and tell him that through God, I am more than a match for him." That's the key thing. Through God we are conquerors. Through God we are overcomers. In ourselves, Satan wipe us out. In Jesus, we can put him to flight. Back with your calls. And I've got some questions, some interesting questions I want to pose to you. Oh, how about this? A.W. Tozer, the devil is a better theologian than any of us and is a devil still. Obviously talking about this bare intellectual theology there, not empowered by the love of God.
Here's my...
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's interesting. We often go from one extreme to another in our faith and our belief and our theology and our practice, don't we? We fixate on something or we ignore it. And sometimes we have a hard time getting things in balance. That's the way it is sometimes with the devil. You got some churches, ministries, man, that's the folk, devil, driving out demons, devil, just resist him, fight him. And you got other churches, never even talk about him, as if it doesn't exist. I've got a question. There are a lot of demons on the earth in Jesus' day, and he spent a lot of his time driving out demons. Where'd they go? Isn't that part of the ministry we're called to today as followers of Jesus? 866-348-7884. Back to the phones. Puvi in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello, yes, go ahead, please.
Okay. In response to the woman about the strong man binding, I like your answer. I just want to say further, I only go by what Yeshua did in the Bible. Yeshua, when with the demon spirit, he cast it out to the pigs. He did not bind it. So what I do is I rebuke, I remove, I cast it out, I uproot out and purge it out and then replace it with the good spirit. That's what I do. Just want to share that. I do not bind it because that's taken out of the context. Because I just do what Yeshua's have done. You know, he did not bind it. He cast it out to the pigs.
Right, well, and I think Puvi, a lot of times when people talk about binding Satan, it's more of a term than something that they actually think through in terms of what it means. Because yeah, we are called to drive out demons, and thus we drive out the power of the enemy. And then what we are to do is then fill that life with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. And as we're filled with God, then there's no access point for the enemy. But yeah, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, God bless. Okay.
All right, God bless you. She's referring to a previous caller who asked, is Satan called the strong man? What about binding Satan? And I said, even though we use the term binding and loosing, Jesus speaks of it in Luke 16 and 18, he's really not talking about demons there. Luke 11, he says, when the strong man fully armed guards his house, his possessions are secure, but when someone stronger comes in and overcomes him, overpowers him, then he takes away the arm in which the man trusted. So that's us. Satan can be a strong man. He can be an intimidator. Listen, friends, he loves to intimidate. Satan loves to intimidate. He loves to come at you like that Goliath-type figure and intimidate. He does. The fact of the matter is, he's a liar. You say, yeah, but I know this one died, and I know this one backs it. Yeah, but friends, we don't have to. We don't have to be a casualty to Satan. We don't have to be overcome by his lies. I know sometimes there are seasons of unusual attack. Paul talks about in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the evil day when it seems like all hell breaks loose and your knees buckle, that's where we need to worship God. That's where we need to take a deep breath and say no to the enemy rather than get caught up with his lies. 866-348-7884. Warren in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, sir.
Yes, I think that you guys have a wonderful ministry, and the Lord is with you.
Well, thank you, sir.
I just want to give a couple of point of views. And, you know, I wasn't going to discuss that binding, but since I talked about it so much, I think I want to touch that, too.
Go ahead.
But, when you were talking about us doing our battles in Christ, or when someone talked about it, I totally agree with that. I mean, if you were going to battle, and if you were in a bomber plane, you wouldn't want to step out of the plane and start battling anybody. I mean, uh-huh. What kind of power would you have? If you was a tank and you was going to battle, you wouldn't want to step out of the tank. Because you would have no power then. And of course, Christ is invincible. So if we in Christ, it's no way we could actually lose.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I was thinking about the... when it talks about the gates of hell, this is just a point of view. Could you see it as maybe the gates of hell is a barrier not to keep somebody out, but to keep folks in? And
yeah.
For the most part, Satan's the kingdom that he has, the prince that he's over, the folks he's over, is actually inside this gate. And when Jesus came into the room where Didymus was doubting, there was nothing, there was no barrier that could keep him out. Of course, he had the power of his father, and he's God himself. And when Philip went to meet the Ethiopian eunuch in the desert, there was no power that could keep him out. And this strong man, when I'm thinking like when the strong man, when they say the strong man is bound,
Let me just dive in and get back to that gate subject, just because I got a break coming up here, Warren. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says in Matthew 16 that he's building his church, his messianic congregation, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, on the one hand, the word prevail would give the indication as if the gates are somehow attacking. But gates, we would think, are not offensive weapons, but defensive weapons. So there's another way to read that text, and he's saying as God's people march forward with the Great Commission, as God's people march forward full of the Spirit, as God's people march forward proclaiming Jesus, the gates of hell can't stop them, can't prevail against them. So there is that way of understanding the text, which means that nothing can stop the gospel from spreading throughout the entire world. Nothing can stop the people of God from setting captives free in Jesus' name. No neighborhood that you live in, no city, no nation, no political structure can stop the gospel from coming forward. I think that's something to take hold of, and those who are within those gates held bound will be liberated as the gospel goes forth. Hey, gotta run, but thanks again for the kind words as well, Warren. Friends, if you didn't take advantage of this last week, just found out from our shipping department before the show, we've got some copies still left. Frank Viola's book, co-authored with Leonard Sweet, Jesus, A Theography. I wrote an endorsement for it as one of the most Jesus-centered books I've ever read in my life. You'll be edified and blessed by it. It's a 425-page hardcover. You can get it along with the one-hour interview with Frank that actually stirred me. I was blessed and stirred by the interview itself. So $25 postage paid, so that's a discounted price, $25 postage paid for the book plus the CD of the interview. We don't have it online anymore, so you need to call to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Again, that's 1-800-278-9978. And this book will really help you focus on Jesus in such a way that you will be a much more effective ambassador for the Lord, much more deeply in love with Him, serving Him all the more readily. We'll be back. Games
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, when a lot of people hear about Satan, hear about the devil, they think of, you know, witch hunts and the devil made me do it, and people writhing during an exorcism, and some believe all of it, and some think it's spooky, some think it's ancient superstition. The fact is there is a real devil. The fact is he is out to destroy you and me. The fact is Jesus has broken his power, and in Jesus we are overcomers. We must exercise the authority that we have and walk in harmony with the Lord. Michael Brown, as we talk about how much authority Satan has, 866-34-TRUTH. Here's a report from about 11 days ago. A woman was accused of being a witch in Papua New Guinea. According to the report, she was stripped, tortured, bound, and then she was burned alive in front of hundreds of witnesses. According to the report, hundreds of bystanders, including children, looked on, and some took photographs at one of the highest-profile sorcery-related murders in the South Pacific island. On the one hand, you read a report like that and you groan. You think, oh, what a shame. On the other hand, you read that and realize, okay, this may have happened horrifically to this woman, but that doesn't mean there's not a real devil. Just because people do those things doesn't mean there's a real devil. And I understand under Old Testament law, given by God, that people were burned alive for satanic activity. I do understand that. That's how dangerous it was, and that's how God was going to stamp it out and warn the people in the Old Testament. That being said, here we are now, well, you may be listening in Papua New Guinea, but most are not. In our society, you don't see a lot of open satanic activity. In other words, you can go to third world countries, you can go to jungles of Africa, you can go to jungles of India, and you'll see some pretty wild things in terms of demonic manifestations. I have. Many of my friends have. They minister in those settings. Often in the States, it seems, what, is the devil more sophisticated? Is he hiding behind the scenes more? Or do you just want to go look at the latest violent flick and that'll be more than enough evidence of satanic activity? That reminds me, I wrote an article this morning, just got posted around noon today. It's on townhall.com. Bad news about childhood TV watching and adult criminality. You'll find that the study confirms some things that you knew in your gut, but then you'll find some other things that might shock you as well. So that's bad news about childhood TV watching and adult criminality on townhall.com. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a scenario I want to present to you and get your input. First, let me go to the phones. Trevor in the Bronx, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I want to thank you for the enlightenment that Calvinists believe in perseverance, not in predestination. That's enlightening.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Do you know what some of the animals that represent Satan and why each of them represents Satan? I think it's because they're different characteristics, the snake, the lion, and so forth. Do you know the different animals and why they represent Satan? Why they are types of Satan?
Well, I think it's more or less that there are things associated with these animals. In other words, when Peter wants to talk in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, about Satan going about a certain way, destructive, powerful, he uses the image of a lion. When he wants to speak of Satan's cunning, since the snake is associated with cunning, or was especially in the garden, then that's how Satan works. So some of it, he worked through the serpent in Genesis 3. Others are figures, Trevor, so that when God wants to paint a picture of Satan as a dangerous devourer, he paints a picture of him as a roaring lion walking about looking for those to devour. That's an interesting question, though. What other images are used, and what do they suggest? Maybe I'll come back to that. Thank you, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. The devil. Do we give him too much attention? Not enough attention? 866-348-7884. I want to present a scenario to you in a moment and get your feedback on it. But before I do that, let me say this. We worship God. We love God. We look to the Lord. We focus on Him in every way. We adore the Lord. He's our God. He's our King. Our thoughts, our desires are on Him. At the same time, we recognize there's an enemy. At the same time, we recognize there's one who wants to destroy, who wants to kill, who wants to disfigure however he can. That's what he does. He's evil. If you want to see what he's like, see what he does when God gives him permission to attack Job. That's a whole other subject. But look at what he goes out and does. He kills, he destroys, he afflicts. That's what he does, and he loves to do it because he's evil. He's the epitome of evil. So we know he's there. We know he's an enemy. Therefore, we are clothed for battle. Therefore, we are armed for combat. At the same time, he is not where our focus is. Our focus is on King Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I present a scenario to you and get your feedback, let me grab one call. Ben in West Des Moines, Iowa, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Michael Brown, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Today with, doctors making diagnosis on people and issuing medication to them, and when you're reading the Gospels, Jesus would call it what it was, and then he'd identify it as a demonic spirit, what have you, and then, he would do what he did. He'd heal that person. Like, for instance, I was in church one time, and it was during a Bible class, and this lady, she went into a seizure, and I was just, fresh to this. I just got born again, and I was watching this, and as I was holding her head, I remember the scriptures of what, Jesus said in the Gospels, and I'm thinking, why isn't anybody, I couldn't do it myself. I felt like maybe there was some type of sin in my life, or I didn't know what was taking place. All I know is, how do you discern between a medical condition and, satanic, oppression?
Right. Let me give you a couple answers to that important question, Ben. First, we see that Jesus heals sick and drives out demons. Not every sick person was demonized. Not every demonized person was sick. That's the first thing as we go through the Gospels. The second thing is, discerning of spirits is for discerning that those gifts should be operating in the body, and we should be able to discern whether something is just a satanic manifestation or not. I heard one man who had ministered healing to many say that he saw two epileptics healed in a short period of time. One of the epileptics had scars on the brain, whatever the physiological condition is, and that caused the epilepsy, and God healed the brain physically. The other one, there was nothing wrong, no scars in the brain, nothing like that. It was simply a demonic attack, and the person was delivered from demons. So it can be either. That's where discernment is needed. However, there's a simple way to look at it as well, which is that these things are attacks on human beings, not sent from above. In other words, someone struggling with epilepsy has not been blessed by God. God loved that person so much, God decided to bless that person with leprosy, with epilepsy. That's an attack. That could be a satanic attack, just a spiritual thing. It could be a physical attack. The enemy could be behind it. So either way, when we minister healing in a sense is a deliverance from a wrong condition. When we minister deliverance, healing in a sense is setting right someone who is bound. So many times as I pray, if I'm praying for someone sick or demonized, I'm just coming against every force, every power, everything wrong that would attack them in Jesus' name and asking for healing. So although discernment is discernment, God gives it. In other words, there's not a set of rules you can go by or symptoms you can look at. God has to give the discernment if we don't have more information in front of us. At the same time, whatever we're going after, we're looking at as an intruder, as something seeking to destroy, to hurt. And in Jesus' name, we're driving that back and asking for healing. So that has simplified things to me over the years. I hope that works on your end as well, okay?
Sure. I appreciate the time.
Sure thing. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I asked this question when I was teaching a seminary class. I would say maybe most students were Calvinistic in the class. It was a Hebrew exegesis class. We were going through poetry and wisdom books in the Old Testament. I think most of them may have been Calvinistic and most non-charismatic. So again, everyone listening now, you're going to fall into all kinds of different categories as listeners. So I don't know who you are each individually, obviously. So I'm just throwing this question out for you. Which scenario would give you a greater sense of comfort and confidence? And I'm going to use a very painful illustration. All right, so let me just use the illustration. You have a child. The child gets stricken with a terrible illness, and the child dies. Which scenario gives you more of a sense of comfort and confidence? First scenario, for some reason, God sent that sickness. You don't know why, but God sent that sickness and took that child home, and you just have to trust the Lord's goodness. That's the first scenario. Second scenario, you know that your father is good and that he would never send something like that, and you realize this was the work of Satan. And Satan attacked that child and killed that child. And you have authority over Satan. Now you need to act on it. Which of those two scenarios would give you a greater sense of comfort? I didn't ask what you believe scripturally. Obviously, that's going to tie into it. But which of those gives you a greater sense of assurance, confidence? Which of those makes you feel more protected? The one in which God is God and God can do anything, and for some reason God chose to take your child home, afflict that child with a severe illness and take that child home? Or the scenario in which you know your heavenly father would never do that, that's the work of Satan. You don't know how Satan was able to do that, but now you will be all the more vigilant over the rest of your family. I'm just curious to get your feedback. I'm not asking for a right or wrong answer. I'm not asking, you don't have to be able to defend it scripturally. I'm just asking. I'm curious about this. I was surprised by the response from the seminary students, but I'm just curious. And Johnny, you don't need to tell me what specifically their position is, just that they're responding to that question. All right? 866-348-7884. Let me go right back to the phones first. Chris in Cleveland, you don't have to answer my last question, because I think there's something else you wanted to say prior to that.
Well, first of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
Most of the time, I'm just getting off of work. I'm riding around.
All right.
But I just want to say something, you know, about this evil presence that we have. We give that evil power, and we know that the devil exists and everything, but the. It's just like Jesus said, yea, though I stand at the door and knock, and if any man should come in, I shall sup with him, him with me. We have to let the devil in, too, and we don't do anything about it. And then when some bad things happen, then we want to pray when we should be praying all the time.
Yeah. You know, Chris, let me just jump in and then back to you. You know what strikes me? Lance Armstrong, the now disgraced cyclist, I saw this quote. I believe it's accurate. He had said something like, if there was a God, he wouldn't have lost one of his testicles. And I wondered, like, well, why is God obligated to bless my life and keep me safe and sound if I'm not living for him? If I don't know him, I'm not serving him. So it's the same thing, Chris. We live our lives the way we live them, and then something goes wrong, and then we say, well, where's God? And then we pray, well, is he obligated? Does he have a contract that, like the genie in the bottle? Whenever there's a need, you just rub the bottle. So anyway, I just had to say that. Back to you, though, Chris.
But you know, this you know, God gave us free will and free choice.
Yeah.
And the choices that we are making are completely against God, and we don't understand that gives power to the devil.
Exactly.
And then the more we neglect God, God stands back from sin. So how can we expect God to always jump in and save us, even though he is merciful, although he does do it? But it's just that he's not doing it like he could do it, because we're just giving so much power to the devil. We're just putting God, especially in this country. I mean, with people like you on the radio, we should be listening more and understanding more. But we just don't seem to care anymore. It's just like, this is the way it's going to be, and we have to accept it like that. No, we don't. You know, I don't want to get on here and quote a lot of scriptures, but you know, it says, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we need to be seeking the face of God. But we don't need to be doing it in the church. We need to be out in the community. I have asked pastors, and I'm...
Hey, Chris, I gotta jump in, but call again. Great to hear from you from Cleveland. Thanks for the good word. Keep that fire burning, man.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I asked this question. Again, it's just a hypothetical, it's just a painful illustration. You have a child, the child gets stricken with a terrible illness and dies. You conclude scenario one, that God is in control, and for some reason, God chose to strike your child with that illness and take that child home, but you love God and trust him nonetheless. Scenario two, you realize God doesn't do those kinds of things to his children. He doesn't send sickness and disease as gifts to his children. And you realize it's Satan that attacked your child and took that child home. And you understand now that you have authority over Satan, those things don't have to happen again. Which scenario would give you greater comfort, greater faith in God, scenario one or scenario two? I'm not asking for you to defend your answer. I'm not saying there's a right and wrong answer. I'm simply wondering what your perspective is. I've heard of people leaving the faith because they heard that it was God that took their child home, and when they realized it was Satan, they came to faith. I've heard of people leaving the faith saying, well, if Satan has that much power, where was God? And when someone said, no, it was God doing that, they came to faith. I've heard of people reacting in different ways, just curious to get your perspective. Let's start with Peter in Cary, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your take, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I know personally for me as a believer, I like to be comforted, you know, like I like to have assurance. You know, I think about when Christ was asking the disciples, you know, who do you say I am? And Peter says, well, you know, you are Christ. And he says, you know, blessed are you, for my Father, or for flesh and blood did not reveal to you, but my Father is in heaven. You know, and any knowledge I have about Christ, I like to think that it was given from God. So as far as God being in control and something like that happening, if my child were to die, I would definitely choose the first scenario, as far as trusting that it was God that you know that allowed this to happen, and that you know my child's in heaven safe with him. You know, just to have that insurance is
got good. It right, and either way we would say that the child is with the Lord. But Peter, I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. This is something we could discuss, and it's just a hypothetical, so we're not talking about anybody's kids dying. Okay, we're just talking hypothetically here. 866-34-TRUTH. Barry in Highland Falls, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr.
Hey.
Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed, thanks.
I lost my child about 10 years ago. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
How old was your child?
Oh, it was a year and a half.
Oh.
And
so sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I go with the first scenario, that God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a problem in the beginning because everybody was hitting me with Romans 8:28, where everything is worked for God's purpose, and that really got me crazy, you know?
Mm. So how is it then that you... you reconcile this and you come to a point of saying, okay, I just trust the Lord through it. Romans 8:28 was hard for you.
Yeah. I reconciled it because God is in control, and I know that I will see my son again.
Got it. Yeah, well, that, listen, you're speaking from personal experience.
Yes.
And I can't imagine what you've been through to say that. So I'm just going to leave it there. That's what carried you through.
Yes, it
that
did.
God is in control. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brown.
All right, God bless. Boy, what can you say? What a powerful testimony. And others say, yeah, we've been through it and seen God's faithfulness. Tom in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm great. I'm blessed. Thanks.
I guess I have a different take. I think we're asking the wrong question, and it's not about comfort for us. It's about what is going to bring glory to God. And I guess I look at it as, and I think the scriptures support that, Satan is the source of the illness, the destruction in man's life, but it does not happen without God's permission. And while I can totally appreciate the last caller's talk about hearing someone quoting Romans 8:28 in the middle of their suffering, which isn't really probably the time to do it, that is ultimately, I think, where a believer will get their peace is recognizing that no matter what does happen, that God is our Father, just like with our children. Sometimes they don't understand why we do things the way we do.
Right. But, you know, the thing I just jump in to say, Tom, I'm just having a little problem with the connection and hearing you clearly, sir. But Jesus did say, what man is there of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? In other words, he paints a picture of God's reasonable goodness. And throughout the word, God is praised for being the healer and the deliverer of his people. And then Jesus reveals who the Father is. Friends, I think this is a subject we may take up again. We immediately got flooded with phone calls, and we're out of time. But I'm looking. Charles saying that Satan's on a leash. Chris saying the first option would be the most comforting to him. Judith, the first option, God allows these things. Gail, in between the two options. I'd love to hear from each of you, and perhaps we can get back to this. What does God do? What does Satan do? What our confidence in God should be, so that I can hear from the rest of you. But thank you for calling, and above all, let us be people who love the Lord without reserve and people who exercise the authority we do have over Satan. And thank you so much for your input. At least I was able to share the calls that I had right before me. Friends, if you didn't take advantage of yesterday's special offer, it's available again today. The really terrific two-hour debate, probably 2+ hours on 2 DVDs, where Dr. James White and I teamed up together to debate those who denied the deity of Jesus. We had a great time doing it. That plus volume 2 of my series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Do you ever wonder how God can be 3 and yet 1 at the same time? And does Jewish tradition help us understand that? And all kinds of fascinating questions we deal with, not just for Jewish people, but for all believers. You'll find it rich resource. The two together are $50 with postage. Today you can get them $35 postage paid, so that's the 2 DVDs and the book. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can go to our online bookstore. That's AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore. Call 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, even more than Satan is evil and ugly and destructive, even more than that, our God is good and wonderful and kind and loving, and we put our trust in him.